Conference record has joined the conference.
All right, Michael. So good afternoon, guys. My name is Elliot Ingebretson of The Grateful Web, and tonight I'm here with multi-instrumentalist Mr. Michael Kang of the String Cheese Incident. Michael, how you doing tonight?
Good. How you doing?
Doing well, my man. So 2015 has been quite a busy year for you guys. Plenty of headlining spots at major festivals, an incredible run at Red Rocks, and now a huge fall tour, along with the release of Rhythm of the Road Volume 2 live in Las Vegas. So I wanted to start there. Take me back to July 27th and 28th, 2001. Cheese is in Vegas.
Well,
the first
night.
Let
me see if I can ring the old memory bell.
Yeah.
I know, it's kind of crazy to think that it was
energy like
and
what made? Ago. Yeah, what made those nights so special that you wanted to turn it into a series?
Like back then, we were kind of like, you know, at the beginning, we were kind of getting to the point where we were playing some bigger shows, and we just, a lot of the kind of the, you know, like we had just had like a really, really like amazing kind of experience with our friends that helped us throw this festival called Horning's Hideout, a bunch of Portland people that were in this group called Peak Production. And they kind of helped us do a lot of the extracurricular kind of like thematic programming and stuff. So every New Year's and Halloween and a lot of big shows, we kind of, you know, get an opportunity to really just go for it with a bunch of wacky concepts. We were kind of right at the beginning of all that, getting to start to do that with a big production budget and things of that nature. So it was, a lot of it was just kind of trial and error. We had some good ones.
Yeah.
But Vegas is always kind of, you know, it is always just, you know, back then too. I mean, we've been to Vegas recently and everything seems like it's gotten just so super corporate and crazy humongous. And even though it's entertaining, like I think back then in the early 2000s, we hadn't quite gotten to that level yet. So people could still go and just really have a good time. And,
right.
What didn't seem like it was almost like it was like Vegas seems just corporate and almost like Disneyland now. I mean, it was always like that a little bit, but
yeah.
But, so we, you know, and we got to go and just rage for a few days, and it was just definitely one of the more memorable ones, so.
Hell yeah. Well, so this release, I mean, that was over 14 years ago. Obviously, a lot has
indeed
changed since then. You've picked up Jason Hahn on percussion. You guys have all done a bunch of solo and side projects, and overall, the sound has kind of shifted since then. Stylistically, I mean, how would you say the band has changed or progressed from those shows up until where you're at right now?
Well, I think, like, back then, the jam band, you know, for whatever lack of better kind of moniker, the jam band scene
right.
was very much centered around kind of, like, being of the Dead era and then, you know, morphing into kind of what Fish and Widespread and a lot of the bands kind of in that same genre were really doing. So there's a lot of bands back then doing that. And since then, I think we've seen the shift of like jam bands also incorporating a lot of the EDM world as well, which has been happening in Europe for a long time as well. And so, and even back in the early 2000s, you know, when Travis and I started going to Burning Man, like I think my first Burning Man was in 2000 or 2001, and you could kind of see that upwelling of, you know, it's like my first Burning Man, I went and hung out with Bass Nectar a bunch out there and stuff. It was kind of like you could see it kind of starting to pop up, and it just seemed like eventually the two worlds were going to merge because there was, you know, very similar kind of desires and how people wanted to relate to their fan bases. And, you know, and I was listening to a lot of electronic music at the time, and I think even from the beginning, our band ethic was to be really open-minded. There was nobody that was, like, really leading the ship in terms of, like, Billy always wrote, you know, really, you know, came from his bluegrass backgrounds and stuff, and everybody kind of always had kind of a say in which direction the band was going to go in. So, you know, bringing Jason on board, he brought, like, obviously, you know, not only his percussion strengths and all the things he'd learned, but a fair amount of desire to get into the electronic thing, and it just kind of seemed like it happened. And so, you know, whereas we maybe started back in the, you know, when we started back in the early 90s, we were more more or less a bluegrass band, and then started bringing in all these influences. I think our contemporaries in the scene that we were kind of around in kind of influenced where we were going to go. And shortly after 2001, we also recorded an album called Untying the Knot with this producer, Youth, who really opened eyes about a lot of stuff. He was, you know, an electronic producer. And so I think our sonic kind of palette just got opened up. And we're pretty, I think, like, overall, we're pretty open-minded as a band, and we're definitely up for the challenge of trying out a bunch of different stuff. And so, yeah, we've tried to keep it as fresh as possible, and we're continuing to do so.
Right, right. Well, and that's interesting. I'd spoken with Michael Travis over at summer camp earlier this year, and he sort of said along the lines of the same thing. Way back in the day, they got really into electronic music when it was big over in Europe before it really broke through in, like, maybe 2008 over here. And now it's funny because we were talking about, you know, the current state of electronic music, and he's like, oh, I'm over that shit now. But
yeah, I mean, you know, things go in big cycles. And, you know, actually, because these days, if I were to want to listen to anything, I want to listen to, like, there's a part of me that just wants to listen to really quiet acoustic music. So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, things always go around in circles, and that's the beauty of it. And I'm sure that at one point, like, you know, the electronic thing will also, not, you know, people evolve, tastes evolve, and that's the beauty of having been around. We're almost, you know, 20-plus years into it at this point. You see how things change, and luckily we've been able to kind of stay somewhat current, so that's that makes it fun for us, although got a few more gray hairs and not as much stamina to be on the road, but
yes. Well, speaking of the road, let's talk Fall Tour 2015. You guys kick things off next Wednesday with a two-night run at the Skyway Theater in my hometown of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Before you guys head out east and finish things up with Hulaween. How stoked are you guys to get back on the road, and what can we expect from this upcoming fall tour?
Well, it's personally speaking, like, you know, a little bit of a double-edged sword for me just because I've got, like, young kids at home.
Right,
so it's always
right.
hard to be from home, but away from home. But at the same time, like, we as a band, like, relish the opportunity to get out there and play a bunch of nights in a row. Because now these days, you know, you do a lot of summer festivals, and we don't tour as much, and there's a continuity that we gain from being on the bus together. And so on that front, it's going to be exciting. And if only I could, like, sleep as good as I used to back when I was in my 20s, I wouldn't be as grumpy, probably.
Yeah.
But overall, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be great. Like, we'll get, you know, the band always gets in much more of a flow after playing a few more nights in a row. And Halloween's going to be great, and it'll be fun to reconnect with our fans on a more intimate level. And that's kind of why we do this. We kind of committed a couple years back to making sure that we did a run like this at least once a year. And so even though we might not be, you know, slogging it out there like 120-plus dates a year like we used to,
right.
which I don't know if we could. I think one of us would probably croak.
It's funny. I talk to a lot of bands, and they sort of say the same thing. They say once you got a family, or once you hit 35 plus,
it's not easy on you. It's not easy on the nervous system, and it's definitely like, you know, I mean, some people are able to do it constantly, but and there may come a point where, you know, where all our kids are grown up, and we're going to be like, oh man, get me out of the house.
Right. Right. Okay, cool. Well, so apart from the rhythm of the road release, you guys also just released two more albums on livecheese.com. You had the travelogue from summer 2015, and you had the Winter Carnival, a.k.a. the Blizzard Run. Tell me a little bit about those albums and why they're special.
So we every year we try to come up with something that is kind of like we get our archivist to kind of go through something that feels like it's you know, like really captured something from a past era. And so a lot of times, you know, there's, you know, I don't know how many shows we've played at this point, 1,300, 1,400 probably, something like that. And it's nice to listen back to see how the band has evolved. And but then, you know, our archivist is really good at kind of choosing some stuff that he really felt captured kind of that era. And so I think he found some stuff that he really felt was is, you know, because since we release everything live that we do, you know, it's like, it's good to, you know, put something out that really is mixed well and we really feel like kind of captures the vibe or the essence of what we were about back when. And so, you know, obviously we've been doing that, a lot of the live stuff ever since we were kind of, as a band, since we never really did well with major releases or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also hopefully entering a new phase where we just bought a building that we're turning into a studio, and we look forward to actually releasing a bunch of new tracks that don't get played live until they're released. And so that's kind of the, what we're kind of trying to work in that realm, get out of a little bit of the jam band ethos of, you know, rehearsing our new material live on tour.
mm-hmm.
We're trying to switch it up and get into that flow as well. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff coming out, and we're excited.
Cool. Well, and I had spoken with Michael on the same topic. He mentioned you guys had a little songwriting retreat earlier this summer where you guys sort of brainstormed some new material and just got away from it all and just wrote music. Is there any studio albums in the works or potential new music just in general that you want people to be aware of?
Yeah, in fact, we had 6 days in the studio, of which we refined a lot of the things that we kind of came up with in that session when we got away in Sedona for a week. And we're kind of past looking at things in the album thing, in the album kind of idiom, because albums not only it can be frustrating as an artist sometimes because you know, you'll work really hard on an album, get it done, but then the release itself takes forever for whatever cycle, you know. And it seems like, you know, getting the promotion done and everything. And our last album was kind of like that. Like, by the time the album came out, we'd already been playing a bunch of the songs for a while.
Right.
You know, we felt like we were kind of behind on that, in that regard. And so we felt like it was more like, important for us to be able to, like, just get stuff out quicker. And
yes,
something that we're kind of working toward. That's why we bought the building is to be able to like just record stuff, mix it, get it out, and get it out to the fan base, and then start playing it. But also kind of give it its proper due in terms of the production that every song requires in the studio. So hopefully we're entering kind of a new era with all that, and we're actually really excited about it. We just like got basics down on six to eight brand new tunes that nobody's heard, and we hope to continue doing that as time goes by. So
nice. Well, hopefully we'll get to preview some of those tracks next Wednesday or Thursday. So,
well, that's the beauty of it, is that we're not going to play them live until they're done. That's kind
gotcha.
Of what we're trying to do. And but then when we put them out, we're going to, like, you know, we'll put it out in its finished format, and then people can also start. But at the same time, like, we've also been writing new stuff that has made it out and that, you know, that isn't recorded yet. But we're really trying to, like, pay homage, like, really make sure that the studio is given its true kind of weight to let the process really, you know, because a lot of times you'll get used to how playing something live and it may or may not be worked out into perfection. So there's something really good about being able to, like, you know, perfect it in the studio, at least as close as you can get, and then take it out and then perform it. So that's what we're trying to do these days.
Cool, man. Well, I look forward to hearing those tracks. So over the past years, I mean, we've seen different variations of the String Cheese Incident. You guys have been, you know, the Doobie Brothers Incident, and then you had the collaboration with Skrillex at Electric Forest, you know, all sorts of different forms and collaborations. Can you tell me a little bit about how these collaborations get started? Do you simply just sit down and be like, hey, it'd be cool to play with, you know, so-and-so? Or
well,
how does that,
like,
process work?
I think, like, even from the early days, when in the mid-90s, we always, like, found inspiration from playing with our musical heroes or contemporaries, and we'd, like, take people on the road and have them sitting with the band for a while. And I think it's just born out of that same kind of ethic. And now it's gotten to the point where the tastes of all these different people, and part of the incident for us is really being able to have a different thing happen. And so whether or not it's Lauryn Hill, Skrillex, or, you know, Kool and the Gang,
Kool and the Gang,
or
yeah,
whatever, it's like, it's kind of like along that same, we try to push ourselves to provide a new experience for our fans, and then also kind of like bring in hopefully the fans of other people. Like when we did that thing with Zach Brown at Lockin a few years ago, it was definitely like,
yeah,
a melding of similar kind of like-minded people. And I think that's the beauty of kind of the scene that we have, you know, for that matter, like, you know, Bass Nectar's even sat in with us before, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
It's all just, you know, to me personally, you know, looking from the inside out, it's very much, even when musics are stylistically can seem really different, it's still born out of the same kind of basic desire and community sense. And so, of, you know, and that's the thing that we all have in common, and that runs true through all the musicians that we've played with. So I think that is, you know, ultimately we're just trying to get out there and, you know, have a moment where we can relate en masse with each other. And so whatever spectrum we can do that in, and
yeah,
great, you know, bring it on.
Cool. Good answer, man. All right. I got a couple more for you here, and then I'll let you go. Let's talk stage production here for a bit. Obviously, that's a huge factor in any cheese show, especially nowadays as you've grown bigger and bigger. Tell us about what goes on behind the scenes to bring such a beautiful and massive production to the stage night in and night out.
Like, you know, we luckily have kind of had a lot of great people around us, but also kind of born of the desire that we've, back in the day when we started events like Horning's Hideout and worked with a bunch of these big New Year shows, we always had the, you know, desire to want to really do cool, you know, kind of more theatric performance-based stuff. And, you know, luckily now that we've gotten to play with some of these big sets and big budgets, we've been able to kind of, like, thematically roll some of those things into each other. And we've had a lot of production help, so, you know, there's hundreds of people working behind the scenes for places like New Year's. But, you know, for this Halloween coming up, we're going to run with a theme that we kind of, me and a couple other people came up with, in regards to, like, we've been really into kind of the concept of just doing these thematically based musical, you know, segues. And so this year we're going to be doing something called the Ghoul Train. It's going to be kind of like a throwback tribute to the Soul Train and all the music that could come out of that. And so that's going to be, we're pretty stoked about that. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, comes a lot of times, sometimes an idea will pop up for the band, and then we kind of just run with the concept and go with it and see where it takes us. Yeah, there's a lot of really, like, very involved people working very hard in the background to make it happen.
Nice. Well, that Soul Train tribute will definitely be something epic come this Halloween. All right. So you guys just announced a thing called the Labrusky Cruise. It's going to be you, Kyle, and Jason going out on the NCL Pearl, the ultimate craft beer and music vacation. Tell me a little bit about how that came to be and what people can expect from
that. Yeah, Kyle would be the best person to probably touch base with about that, because he's kind of the curator of that whole thing. He's really stayed current in the beer community. He's really into microbrews. And what I like about beer is that I like to drink it.
Yes.
But he's really the guy to ask. But I got invited to join him and his band. It was a great collection of music, musicians, mostly playing like all of Kyle's stuff. And he's quite the prolific artist these days. I don't know where he finds the time, man. He's got like two little kids and everything. But the guy is like super driven. And so, yeah, I'm kind of just tagging along for the ride. I got invited to come out, and Jason's going to be out there as well. Beyond that, it's going to be like a tribute to, you know, it's a very kind of eclectic lineup of music.
Yeah.
After like Jam Cruise a few years back, I swore that I would never go back on one of these boats, but I got talked back into it.
Oh, shit. Oh, well, you know, we look forward, and hey, we all like craft beer and we all like string cheese, so that'll definitely be a good time.
Right on.
All right, final question for you here, Michael. It's been a big year for you guys, and things seem to just be growing larger for you guys. What does the year 2016 hold for the String Cheese Incident?
You know, hopefully more of the same, like really trying to lock into some of these events where we can really, you know, things like Electric Forest and Halloween, and really trying to do the things. Like, our goal would be to be able to have, like, events like this all across the country where we could kind of really set the vibe and have a really, really magical gathering. We've got a bunch of new music coming down the pipe, like all next year, that we're producing right now and getting ready to do that. So there's going to be a lot more of that. And yeah, we're kind of just looking forward to just, you know, like staying present with everything for right now. And then, you know, kind of like digging back in. The New Year's run is going to be really great. We're back at the Broomfield Event Center for 4 nights. And yeah, I think everything is just, you know, we're hoping to have another really good year and a bunch of good incidents with people.
Right on, right on. Well, thank you, Michael. I appreciate you spending some time with us tonight, and best of luck on the upcoming tour. I'll see you guys for both the Minneapolis shows coming up here, and we look forward to two more years of the String Cheese Incident. So thank you, my man.
Right on. All right.
Cool. Thanks, and I got to throw it in real quick. 9 years on Wednesday will be the last time you played Up Against the Wall, Redneck Mother. So just putting that out there, if you feel like bringing a song back, that might have to be the one.
That's true. Well, that usually requires copious amounts of somebody drinking. Oh. it never really gets put in a set list. It just shows up.
Right. It's just an idea that's floats that never gets executed. Totally cool. Thank you, my man. Have a great time with your wife, and go have a great dinner tonight.
All right. Thanks, man. Take care.
Hey, thanks. Catch you later.
All right.